Do you want to do any type of lead-in for it?
Yeah, let's talk about guys being dudes.
Guys being dudes. Okay. Do you have an example of guys being dudes? Like one that you thought of yourself? When was a time that... What is your peak moment that you can remember that comes to mind if you're trying to think of our group of guys being dudes? What would it be? That's probably a loaded question I'm thinking too.
We've just had so many just events, like thinking about like partying all night long and then showing up to Christian flag football the next day and winning a championship hungover, like having mimosas on the sideline before a game.
I think that's it. As you're talking about that, I can't think of anything that sums that up more. And just the fact of like going to the field and listening to like trying to have like a pump up song that we would just play. And it would be like, we're trying to be ironic, but it's unironically ironic that like, everyone's like, yeah, put on the song and everything. And then everyone just sits there and secretly in their heads, they're just like,
I like the thought of guys being dudes because there's a lot of things in society now. Like when you hear about like toxic masculinity or anything like that, like guys being dudes is just a cover for something just completely fucking dumb that happens. But since it's all guys, like you're the only ones that understand it. And when it happens and it gets infectious for everybody, like it can be the dumbest shit in the world. Like guys being dudes, like firing bottle rockets at each other, like having a bottle rocket fight. That's guys being dudes. That's fucking dumb.
I was going to say, guys being dudes very rarely ever has to do with guys being dudes over like something like sexist or derogatory.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's humor that only male and men and men can find because our stupid brains somehow think the same stupid shit is funny. And so it's
like when I sent you and Zach that poop video. Mm-hmm. Like that shit to me is hilarious. I understand that there's a whole other gender of people out there that would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But that's just funny. Like that's just a very funny thing to me that I love.
It's your buddy letting you taser him. Yeah. And he asked for like $5. You could have like, had you sat there and had someone said, no, it's not worth it, he would have been like, all right, I'll do it anyway. But you know, he deserved the $5.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the other part of it is like when somebody turns something down, you're just like, pussy. And then immediately you gotta be like, oh, God damn it. Now I have to do this. Like I was just called out. Mm-hmm. In any other logical mind, you'd just be like, no, you're an adult. You don't have to pick up the dog shit with your bare hand. But the fact that you got called out for doing something or not wanting to do something so dumb, then it's like, well, now I kind of have to. Like it's double dog dare as a child. You have to do that shit. And to everybody else in the world, it's like, that's the fucking dumbest thing ever. But you can just be like, guys being dudes.
Here's the thing, too, is it doesn't really change. It changes because you don't really see it. Like when you're around like your girlfriend or wife or family, you'll see it like it'll have to be like covert almost. Like you'll see the group of dads standing around and everything like that. And it's literally people over there trying to convince one person to do something kind of stupid for the other one's enjoyment. That's guys being dudes. But if you get like just a group of guys in private, a golf trip or some shit like that, where there's no supervision, that's when guys being dudes is almost at its peak.
There's a bare ass on the golf course. Mm-hmm. Somebody's getting poked while they're trying to putt. It
dicks out if you don't get it past the ladies' tees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just any sort of nudity or anything like that. It's when like...
it's trying to bury someone's ball with your cart.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Guys being dudes too is like the gayest that a straight man will ever let himself be. Like it's perfectly fine. Like grabbing each other's asses, like showing people their nuts. Showing another guy your nuts... it's like speaking about it, it's like that's vulgar, that's terrible. But as long as that other guy is just as dumb as you and just as fun as you, and he sees him, he's like, oh my god, are those your balls? And that's just guys being dudes.
There's something very odd about the way someone this is gonna sound ridiculous. There's something very odd about how many like ways someone can convey something to you just simply by how they photograph or send you the picture of their genitals. Yes. It can either be extremely threatening and offensive or it can be extremely hilarious. And you're just like, and you won't even question it. It's like the penis is just some muse with just these different, this whole range of acting.
There's a difference between "Oops, I sat in gum" picture that you send people, and then like
there's
standing up,
funny. Like, can
reverse
you imagine,
in a mirror.
Like, I wouldn't imagine there's anything funny about. Like, is there anything funny about the vagina?
No, it's a mystical place.
I know.
It's a world
of
wonderment.
What I'm saying is, like, the dick is just even funny looking.
Yeah,
it was like almost made for humor. Like, that's what was supposed to entertain us when we were first, you know. When we first evolved, that was our entertainment night. It's just like men would dance in front of him, like see who could make it dance the best. That could have been, hey, that could have been it. But anyway,
we haven't evolved.
Yes. But there is something funny about how you can just show the balls and you're like, who just shows the balls? That's so, but it's not even threat. You're just like, well, I guess that's just the balls.
And the only way we explain it is you're just like, that's just a guy being a dude. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you can take all of reality out of everything, and it's just like caveman days.
He must have dropped his phone, and when I was dropping his phone, it took a picture. When his balls were out, sure.
Took it from the backside. And like, yeah. Here's
that
something
happens
like,
all the time.
Man, I took a shit the other night, and it was crazy looking. You want to see a picture of it? It's like, if you see the picture of it, that you're not held responsible for that. Like, if I heard two dudes telling me that story, I'm like, you're not responsible for wanting to see that. That's, it's just guys being dudes. It's the perfect cover, and I think that, obviously, as straight white men, we're under attack the most right now. Like, everybody's coming for us. So in order to level the playing ground, I'm sure this is expands past races, colors, anybody like that. There's always going to be guys being dudes on every continent everywhere.
Yes, there's always guys
I'm being sure dudes. Down in Antarctica where they're doing research, like, there's guys that probably try to, like, stick an ice cube to another guy's nutsack or something like that while he's
asleep.
Someone's
putting someone else's pair of underwear outside to freeze like that or
something. Run them up the flagpole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a universal language.
Honestly, they're probably a lot smarter than that down there. We're giving them down to, like, the basic.
I don't think like, intelligence is a matter. Fucking, this right. is a strictly emotional activity. There's no intelligence that needs to go into it.
All right. Well, a shine away from dudes being dudes. What are we doing here today?
I'd say it's the same thing. It's just the best feelings. The best of the best of the best of the best. Best ofs.
Which will be a series of best ofs.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of best ofs.
So this week, what were our plans this week? Our plans are going to be...
One-on-one theme song time. And we're back. Okay, sorry. I wouldn't have found a way to sneak it in.
I get it.
Had I not done that.
Yeah. So our best ofs this week, we're going to have best of smells, or best smells, best accomplishments, best sounds, best late night drunk food, and the best feelings. Granted, this is all just personal preference. I personally think these are my best ofs, or best of the best is, whatever you want to call them.
These are not heavy answers either. These are not like
no.
super, these are just literally like, when you hear the answers, you're going to be like, oh, that's why that's the best. Yeah, let's...
Anything
it's
that
the,
evokes
it's the little
a,
victories.
An emotional.
It's, yes,
yeah.
It's the little life's bests.
So we will do our flipping can, call it in the air.
We'll do colored side.
Is that colored side?
Yeah, because the other side is just white.
Okay. All right.
Colored green. It's colored green.
Who goes first?
You can go first for best smell.
All right. Best smell, I'm going to harken back to a time as a child. I still don't know how this smell ever happens. I love it still to this day. It makes me happy when I smell it, and it really does bring me back to being a kid. The smell inside of McDonald's at breakfast. I don't know how the mix of like coffee goes, because I don't like coffee as far as like a smell or anything. But there's a certain dance inside of a McDonald's between like the grease and the gross and the cooking of the hash browns and the coffee. It's an unmistakable smell that once in a great while, if I'm ever in there or like grabbing breakfast at McDonald's, when you smell it, you just know exactly where you are. Like that smell anywhere, you could put me in a room with my eyes closed anywhere in the world and I would smell that. I'd be like, it's got to be a McDonald's for breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, they've got that down to a science, I think.
You think it's like an actual plan?
Well, no, it's. I don't think it's a plan, but I think that the smell can be so consistent because it's the exact same thing being cooked the exact same way at the exact same time, everything. Like, I think each McDonald's cooks all the stuff together, and you know the coffee's brewing at the same time that the hash browns are going. And at this point, I'm pretty sure you could probably, you know, you can make proprietary smells. If that was able to be bottled, we would have fucking Mickey D's at breakfast, aerosol, things you could just spray in your car. Can you imagine that getting in your car? You go through the drive-thru and get your breakfast, and they just are like, do you want us to spray your car? And they just lean out and give you two spritzes inside your car. And they're like, you can just pull your car in the parking lot and eat like we know you want to. So you don't have to come inside for that smell.
Yeah, either that or like do it on those pine trees. You put in your car and you just smell it and instantly you're like, hey, I know what I want for breakfast.
Can you imagine like there would eventually become like a stigma about that? Like you're going through someone's car and like, what's this? And like, oh, this is the thing that makes my car smell like McDonald's. Be like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Everybody that gets in your car is like, I know that smell. What is that smell? Like, oh, it's McDonald's breakfast. Like
you get a lot of fucking McDonald's.
Yeah, man. In your car, like the smell just stays. No, it's a deodorizer. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
But you can picture it in your mind. Like, it's, you know, that smell is kind of unmistakable.
Yes, it's hardwired into your mind. There's, that's the exact thing that I'm, like, what I'm going to talk about. Just being.
It's just there since birth?
Not since. Did you like the smell since birth of McDonald's?
I remember being a little kid and knowing that it was going to be a special morning. Because, like, when we would have breakfast as a family in the morning, like, if we were rushing off to, like, a mm-hmm. basketball tournament or something like that, and we had to stop in, soon as you hit that smell, it's just like, all right, got a family day, going to go play six innings of Little League, going to go to a what basketball tournament. I always have loved the burritos. But the invention of the McGriddle has kind of changed my life for McDonald's. See, that's the only McDonald's I really eat is the breakfast.
How many years do I have on you?
Like 4.
How old are you?
33.
Okay, yeah, I got 4. Okay, no, yeah, 4. Took you a long time to come up with that.
I stopped counting age after like 25.
Okay. So, my first, oh, how long, okay, so what was your little kid order? Like, if you had to go through and you're going, like, Little League, not, like, your favorite order.
Pancake plate.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. Yeah, remember when it came in the foam, and it was just the little push-in things, and then it was your hot cakes, your sauce, and eggs, or was it hash brown?
Eggs, because the hash brown, you always got on the side that was in the bag.
Yeah. And so you had your hot cakes, and then you had your little fold thing, the eggs, and then your sausage. Man, that's what mine was. Was that just the standard kids order? Like, did no one order their kids? Because the burritos weren't out even back then. Those were kind of
yeah, those might have been mid-90s.
Yeah,
those inventions. That might have just been, they had that, and then probably like the McMuffin, because I think the McMuffin was a pretty early invention too.
It was the biscuit first. The biscuit came before the English muffin, and then they had the McMuffin. And then for a while, that was it. Then the burritos came along. And then after that, they were like, let's go back to what we know. And then McGriddle was born.
McGriddle is a fascinating. I've done more research into a McGriddle and how they're made than anybody ever should.
Is it? Does it like? Because I like the sausage McMuffin with egg. That's my order now. Like, but I don't know if I've ever. I might have tried a McGriddle. Does it really make that much difference? Is it really
the like sweet and the salty with like sausage or bacon is just incredible. Like you've dipped your sausage patty or your bacon into maple syrup, right?
Yeah,
it's like that. So when they make the buns for the McGriddles, mm-hmm. again, too much information. They're actually crystallized pieces of maple syrup inside mm-hmm. of them. So when they cook, it just melts that maple syrup. So you get almost like a little bit of a sticky bite of maple syrup with the salty sausage or bacon or pork product. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, at any time, if I had to find my way home and I knew I was like lived in a McDonald's, mm-hmm. as soon as I picked up that scent, I'd be able to find it. What do you got?
Mine is the smell that the Disneyland Railroad makes. The steam engine from the Disneyland Railroad. And I know that's like super hyper specific.
Does it smell like other steam engines?
No. I don't know, it's this weird mix of like, I don't even know how to describe it, man. And I've had times where I've smelt it out, like not at Disneyland, like just out in nature, but I couldn't like, there was no way for me to tell what it was.
Like somebody's got weed in their pocket and you don't know who it is, but you can smell it.
It's almost like a humid, kind of like trop, like, I don't even know. It might just be a smell they pump in there or anything like that. But I had this, like, every time I remember going there, and you walk under the railroad into Disneyland and the steam engine. And I remember we would always get on the engine to ride it to a certain section of the park. So that was always, like, ingrained. And then I remember going, like, back the last time that me and Katie went back and just walking in, and it literally just being like this weird, just like euphoric effect.
Just right back there.
It was just like the, I smelled that, and like all my dopamine was like, fuck yes.
It's like when you get the smell after rain and you just know that it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. But it's like, so it's so rare, but so specific. And, but it's like, as a kid, that was the first thing I smelled going into that place that like brought me like so much fucking joy. It was like the best vacation ever. So it's this weird, like, smell mental trigger that, you know, had there been the smell of fucking churros, you know, at that section of the park, maybe that would have been even more so. But like, that smell somehow was the precursor. Like, my brain was like, I smell this, and now I'm having like 10 hours of just nonstop fucking joy.
Just good times.
Yeah. It's like, so this smells the doorbell to all this fun shit.
It's like smelling a feeling.
It was like that. So like the last time we went walking through there and having that smell, it was just something like in my brain just clicked, and everything. You walk under this kind of tunnel, and like you walk in, and even if there was any cloud, you walked out and it was like someone turned on the lights and there was just a ray of sunshine. And like the bird, and of course they have the music going. You're just like, ha ha ha, fuck yes.
Huh. How many times have you been to Disneyland?
In my life, like six.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Never been.
I can't wait to go to Disney World, man.
Yeah. I think that would be my, I don't understand Disney World and Universal Studios and like how they're intermingled or anything like that, but
you, I'm not even lying to you. You would have so much fun between like all like the Epcot shit and all the food and drink around the world and like the Animal Kingdom. It basically, it's like a huge zoo. And then Universal Studios has all the movie shit.
Yeah. Universal seems like it would be the play, but is it all like the same area? Is it the same complex?
If you go to Disney World, it's all in Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as like Disney World, isn't attached to Universal?
No, but I mean, it's like, the complex for Disney, we're going to get off a tangent. Okay, I'll just say this. Complex for Disney World is fucking enormous.
Yeah.
And so
some town.
Yes, and they own their own property. It's like its own county almost. Mm-hmm. But then Universal also owns property in Orlando. So it's like driving like onto the opposite side of a city.
Okay, so it's not like getting into one and then going into both or separate entities?
They're separate.
Okay. All right.
Best accomplishment.
Yeah.
Okay. Best feeling of accomplishment, I guess. Getting the camper set up.
Because it's the long drive and everything.
Yeah, getting up there, especially if you're going, like it's a longer drive and everything. Getting up there, if the road ever gets dicey, you're fucking checking your mirrors every fucking five seconds. Getting up where you need to, getting pulled into the spot, getting backed in. And you don't, like, I don't like to sit there. I don't take a break. Because, like, some people are like, oh, let's go stretch and everything like that. I'm like, you can take the kid and everything like that. I want to get this set up because once I'm moving or done moving, I want to be done moving.
Game on.
Getting all the jacks lowered, getting the thing level, getting the generator out, getting it hooked up, just getting everything set up, table out, getting stuff out of the camper, and then just having that empty. It's done. You know, you're just not going to move from this spot for the next like 2 days. You can go start setting up a fire, chill out. Relax.
Is the inverse of that feeling the packing up, or is there a little excitement to get back?
No. Packing up is a chore. It's just getting, you know, making sure you don't miss any shit, getting stuff packed up. You know that that's the precursor to having to go back to work.
Is that the worst feeling then?
Okay, so there's two feelings associated with that. One, there's the shitty feeling of waking up, packing up, driving home. Then there's the feeling of, ah, we're home. Yeah. I don't have to deal with this camper thing for a couple days because I usually unpack over the course of a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the feeling of, oh, shit, I got to take this thing back to the storage unit. So there's that. Then there's the crippling fucking stress that I exhibit when I have to park it into the fucking storage unit because it's fucking tight as shit between these two fucking pillars. And there's this broke down fucking car that sticks out a little bit from where I can back in. That's been there and rotted and everything. I'm like, who's fucking paying for this spot? It's literally a storage unit. Like,
yeah.
Who's paying for the spot to keep this fucking broken down car resting here? If that was gone, backing up would be so fucking easy. Get rid of the fucking car. But yeah, getting a camera set up is pretty good. It's a pretty good feeling of accomplishment.
I watched a dude yesterday. I was behind him as he was pulling out of a side street, and he was at a stop sign. Car passes, he pulls out, and he probably had like a 25-foot trailer, maybe. Not like a super long one, but long enough for it to be
an like a issue double axle
to tow. Yes. He turns, and he cut it so hard trying to maintain and stay in that lane that he drug the stop sign and the street sign all the way down the side of his camper, and he just kept driving. Like, it was a noise to where I heard it inside.
Trust me, if you're pulling that, you can feel when you get some resistance back there. There was nothing he could do.
Yeah, he didn't.
I'm just saying there was nothing he could do. So his decision wasn't to pull over and be like, I'm going to assess the damage. It's the damage has been done, and I'm getting the fuck out of here.
The signs were fucking bent at like a 45 though for where he drug
it. There was a camper when I was coming over here the other night that was two cops flew by me on the interstate coming over here. Three cops. And I got to the point where we got off at the exit and there was a camper and a truck overturned. Right after you get off the exit and turn.
Yeah.
This way. Yeah. I'm like, what? How was it? I didn't even know how it was turning though, because it was facing like the opposite direction.
He maybe spun out or something.
Turning the wrong way off the exit or something like that, and then figured he couldn't do it and tried to crank it the other way. No clue.
That I would have the worst just anger and anxiety building up. You would have to accept it immediately, but the whole drive up, that's the only thing that you're probably thinking about.
Yeah.
If you don't get out and survey that damage is how bad it looks. Mm-hmm. Like, did this thing just get open like a tin can? Oh, yeah.
All right, what's yours?
My biggest sense of accomplishment is a fresh lawn mow in the morning. Like, when it's still kind of cool out and there's that crisp breeze, you got stone before you mowed, so it's like an early stone day. Maybe you had a beer or two, or on a really hot day after you get done mowing and you walk back through the lawn and you turn the sprinklers on and just walk through the sprinklers and cool down. It's a feeling that I hope everybody gets, and it's not just like a man feeling. And maybe it's just we appreciate it more.
I think it maybe translates to other chores.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes.
That I have no feeling of accomplishment after laundry.
Oh, I do.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you feel good about it?
Yeah, but the thing is it's if I can do it not in stages, that's the best feeling of accomplishment. So the stages would be get out of the dryer, into a basket in the living room, fold everything, put everything back in the basket. The basket then goes upstairs. That's stage one.
Stage that's like two, three stages no, for us.
That's stage one. Stage two is the distribution of the clothes in the baskets into their proper place.
Yeah.
Kid's stuff got to go into his room, which is why you stack it strategically when you're downstairs so you can make certain stops. Then it goes into mom and dad's room. Then the stuff needs to get hung up. That's why you bring hangers downstairs with you when you do that, so the stuff can be folded and then just laid in the top of the basket and hung up. Weirdly enough, it sounds like a lot of the work is done, but stage two, for some reason, can be really hard to accomplish sometimes, despite it being the shorter of the stages.
If you'd like a little hack to just go ahead and cut the head off the beast at stage one, realize that the hangers are in a completely different room that you have to go pull out of that closet. And so you'll just go ahead and slough those off till later and bring those into the room so you can do those eventually. That'll take 3-4 days before you actually get the hangers and then get them hung up. Yeah,
but sometimes, the reason why you do that is because sometimes I complete stage one and stage two has to be accomplished by the wife.
Yeah.
Sometimes the wife accomplishes stage one and I'm done with and I get stuck with stage two. So I want my stage two to be as easy as I make her stage two, which is stuff is already on the hangers. Because most time I leave her stuff out already. Because she has, how many drawers does
yours have? Five.
Five? Mine has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I don't know where everything goes. I don't need that many. I don't know where everything goes, though. So the exchange for her having multiple drawers, the expectation is that she will know where everything goes and I will not. So it will get left on top of the dresser for her stuff that's not hung up.
Yeah.
And it by her will it find its way into her drawers.
It's, you don't want to be intrusive. It's just a matter of respect.
No, but getting back to the feeling of accomplishment, that feeling, I think the reason why that lawn feeling early in the morning is because you know that that could have been done at any time during the day. You didn't have to wait for a window. It could have waited all the way until the evening and you could have did that. But you were such a go-getter. You're so on top of your shit that you were like, no, I'm going to get this out of the way early. And then guess what? Your day is always hamstringed by that lawn mowing.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it off, but at the end of the good time is going to be that lawn mowing.
It's an hour in your day that has to be shoehorned in somewhere. Mm-hmm.
It's like a goddamn piano recital or like a child soccer game or some shit. But what you did is you said, I'm taking control of my day. My day is going to be nothing but possibility.
There's something enjoyable too. I'm not a huge fan of mowing the lawn, but there are parts of it that I love. And the other day I got off on just kind of a wild hair of looking for it because I really wanted to find it. Like you see in baseball fields and soccer pitches, how they have like the different patterns that they mow into the lawn mm-hmm. and all that. I wanted to know how to do that because
isn't it one of the like manual, like the actual like spin cutters or something?
No, it's a weight that you attach to the back of your mower. So mm-hmm. that way when you drive a direction, it flattens lays down the grass
more.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just kind of the inverse of going back and forth and lifting it and dropping mm-hmm. it and lifting it and dropping it. I was like, this is sick. I am definitely going to get one of these because I like to get creative in the front yard. Mm-hmm. I'll do a spiral every once in a while, do a diamond, something fun. But I really wanted to change that. They're like $400. I love doing that shit.
Is this attachment to the mower or the mower with the thing on it?
Just the heavy roller attachment that sits behind the wheels.
And then you still have to push it?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I like doing it. I don't love it $400.
No.
It's just not close. But that feeling of just knocking it out.
Mm-hmm.
All the grass clippings go into one bin. It's not like it's been a while. When everything rolls straight through and you can just roll it out. The best is when you do it like the morning before pickup comes
mm-hmm.
and you can just roll that bitch out there. Yeah. They pick it up and then you go drop it off and you're just off for another week of mm-hmm. not having to think about it.
You don't leave the lid open to get a little of the moisture out, but then you forget it for 2 days and it rains and it just gets all that fucking shit in there.
Or you forget and mm-hmm. it just brews inside there and you open it up and a million flies fly out.
Mm-hmm.
All nasty stuff, but once you get it all done, it's a solid feeling.
All right, what is your best sound?
Very simple again, just something that always sounds crisp and it always sounds like it can either be a good situation or a bad situation depending on what side you fall on it. But there's just something so pure about the crack of a wooden bat off of a baseball. That just that connection point when you hear it and you hear that snap and it's kind of a...
Does it have to be a good hit?
Is that
the association with it, the crack of a good hit?
The feeling the crack of a bat when you hit it in the sweet spot and it goes, that's a great feeling. Hearing it and just seeing, like, if you see a slow motion of, like, how the bat actually bends around the ball when it makes a connection.
And then launches. It's almost like a weird inertia thing. Like, the bat absorbs the ball, and at the same time, the ball is absorbing, then bouncing off, and they kind of expand at the same time.
Yeah. And all that makes a noise. It's just the most definable noise. Like hearing a wooden bat hit anything is a noise. But when it's a ball, yeah, dude, when it's a ball and it's lined up, you just know.
It's that sharp, crisp. And what it is that sound, because of all the highlights that you are associated with that sound, no one ever shows the crack of a bat into a line drive to short for an out or the crack of a bat on a hard grounder. No, you're the crack of the bat. And someone's dreams are dashed either by it or someone is raised to victory for the home run. And that's what you always associate that crack with. And now that crack is almost identical. You close your eyes and you can listen to five cracks of the bat and you can almost pick out which one is the home run.
Uh-huh. It's either going to be you're celebrating it or you're hating it, but mm-hmm. that noise will always just encapsulate your entire attention for where it's going to end up. It's a pure as the driven snow.
That's the kind of sound that if you're like somewhere where there's a game on and you could be paying attention or having a conversation and you hear that sound, you instantly turn and look for a TV because mm-hmm. you're trying to see what happened.
It's a rare feeling sometimes to catch like an actual home run from like hand and ball to bat mm-hmm. to out. And when you hear it, you know it because as soon as you hear that even noise,
catching a glimpse of it is better than nothing.
Yep, I caught it. I know it's gone.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I went with the last school bell for summer as a kid. Regardless of the grade. Solid.
Any time, yeah. From kindergarten to high school, I don't remember bells in college. We didn't use bells in college. But the last one's the best. The first one you don't really understand. And it's like you build up to that last bell because every bell that you've heard at the end of every single school year.
It's the sweet release of freedom for the next 3 months. I think there can be a bittersweetness to that sound. Not my own personal experience, but like I grew up in a town where there was one primary school. Then you all went together to the elementary school. Then you all went together to the middle school. Everyone went to the same school at the same time. Just the different, you know. So you got to move with all your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, in bigger cities, you'll go to all the same, you know, you're still within kind of the same district, but there are possibilities where certain schools cover different portions of the district.
Schools that are close will be fed into different high schools.
Or yeah, or it's more common, like, when families move, when you move within the same city and you're staying in that city and it's only got one school district, but when you're moving within the same city and it's got four school mm-hmm. districts in it, you kind of lose friends at the end of those. So some of those, you know, school bells can be really bittersweet of not seeing your friend again or going to school, having the last time. But my memory was always, I lived next door to my two best friends and it was just that sweet release. We all would, you know, get on the bus and be home at the same time. And it was just the purest moment in life is that last time getting off the school bus, or even better when you could drive, ripping out of the parking lot, getting home, parking, and just realizing that you didn't have to wake up. I mean, unless you had a job, everything, but at least for a little bit, you didn't have to wake up early. You'd do whatever. And guess what you did for that first 2 weeks? You didn't do shit. Then you didn't do anything for the third week. And then you looked and you're like, oh my God, I'm almost already through the first month of summer. But yeah, that last feeling of, especially like your senior year, that weird feeling of like, this is of like fear, a little bit of fear, but like so much like possibility and like joy of, I guess, taking the next step in your life and trying to chase dreams if you have them. I don't know. There was just something about that bell. And it always sounded different depending on what school you're in. It never sounded mm-hmm. the same. But just what that bell, I think, signified.
I would argue the last bell gets worse the further you get away from it. Just kind of mentally, because you don't really realize, like, you're in your own ecosystem when you're in high school and you're in school where, like, you're forced to be around these people.
The last bell gets worse the further you get away from it.
Like,
so you're saying the last bell's in, like, your senior year in high school.
Okay. So when you're 17, 18, whatever it is, when you graduate mm-hmm. and you hear that last bell, it is that opportunity. Like, you're going to go off to college, you're going to go to trade school, whatever you're going to do, you're going to go play sports, or you're going to go learn and do all that kind of stuff. And that ecosystem immediately gets changed, and you move into another pond, and you kind of grow your tree, you do all that shit. As you get older and older, you don't realize so much that you were that far away from it, just because, like, you're out of there for so long. Mm-hmm. But then when you think about it, it's like, I had 50 friends that we would hang out with all the time. Yeah. And now that's gone. Or like, that was a time when depressing, this is going to sound shitty, but that was a time when hope in your life was like at its highest. Mm-hmm. Like you had so many hopes and dreams, and the further
you had this, like, with, like you're talking about with this huge group of friends, or even like, not even like friends, but like acquaintances, people you knew just by hanging out with at school, that you felt like you had almost this protective bubble of people around you.
You're still on the right side of going to bars where mm-hmm. it's like, it's a super exciting thing to just go do and hang out with all your buddies and get trashed. And as you get older, you realize that those were going to be like the best years of your life. Like, I know as you get older, there's still great times, mm-hmm. but that unadulterated freedom that you had after that last bell for like 5 years, oh God, that was great.
Yeah.
So, it's the beginning. It's kind of like when you were talking about going into Disneyland and you mm-hmm. smell that. That last bell was your smell. It's like, oh, shit, these next 7 years.
It's because it was rough. All low stakes back then.
Yeah.
Everything was such low stakes. And that's why you could always have a bigger group of friends, because you never let shit bother you. And then as you get older, you let more shit bother you, or you have a different viewpoint on something, but you have limited time, so you're like, this isn't worth my time anymore to try to, yeah, it just happened.
It's a sweet, sweet sound, though.
All right, what do you got for your best late-night drunk food? Is it drunk slash stoned, or just...
Drunk slash stoned. Stoned can really be any time.
I think I have a more refined palate, much more refined when I'm stoned than when I'm drunk.
You think?
I'm a fucking raccoon. When I'm fucking drunk, just knocking, like trying to get cans open, just fucking.
Yeah. I guess it is sort of a different feeling. When you're drunk, usually it'll be whatever you can get your paws on to get in your mouth. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about it maybe more. But late night stone food, mine works either way. And it depends. Like, I would say there's a difference between being out drinking and getting something on the way home. Because one there is obviously like a taco truck. Because it's just, you have, the world's open. You can get steak, you can get seafood, you can get chicken, everything's going to be different.
Okay.
But stoned or drunk, it's always pizza. Because pizza is that versatile, and it'll come to you. Which is a great feeling if A, you can't drive, or B, you're too stoned to drive and don't want to leave your house. And you can get whatever you want. You can get a Supreme. You can get a deep dish if you want. There's a million ways to order it. You can get a calzone, something like that. But it's always going to be versatile. And you're always going to have a little bit left over for the morning, depending on how bad that morning goes.
Okay, I went a different direction. But it was still, as you described it, it's for the exact same reasons. I went with the questionable 24-hour place burrito.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we... lived at just that right time that we actually saw the rise
here. Everywhere else they got them,
we saw much sooner. Our community's rise of the 24-hour, name it whatever you want, Roberto's, Alejandro, like just name it,
Pollo Loco, kind of,
yep, just name it whatever you want to name it, but every place has got one. It's the place that's 24 hours, drive through is normally open to late, you're not going inside. They serve gigantic burritos, and for the same reason as pizza. And the reason I chose this is because I feel like when I was drunk, it was always too late to have the foresight to order pizza. Sometimes we did, especially at the old house,
mm-hmm.
Someone would be smart enough to have the foresight. It kind of went around the horn to see whoever it was. It was a toss up. Sometimes maybe nobody came up with it, and then we were shit out of luck.
It would take five brains to come up with one idea.
Someone would be like, hey, we should do this before we get too far gone, so that way we have it here. And someone would take care of it. You know who it usually was?
Kev?
No, it was usually Cam.
Well, the soberest one in the room.
That's what I'm saying. And the one that wanted to eat the fucking pizza the most.
Yeah.
And knew that by him taking care of that, he wouldn't have to pay. Or we'd be like, we'll just cover it. Mm-hmm. And you take care of it, we'll just cover it. And then he would get like his own fucking order of like garlic bread and shit.
Something that he could squirrel away to himself. It was like his commission of the idea.
But the 24-hour burrito was always accessible. And especially if you're coming back from someplace, you know for a fact that you can order that burrito. And the next morning, half of that burrito is going to be sitting there. Yeah. It's going to be cut in half cleanly, sitting there on a plate, still in its wrapper next to a sauce, next to one of the little ramekins of sauce. And you're going to have breakfast.
You can either strip the tin foil and heat it up a little bit, or you can just bare back it.
This was paper. And you got some bites of paper sometimes,
yeah,
if you were just real desperate about it. But no, you got your entire selection. You had California if you wanted steak. You had, which one is the one, a Texano that had the chicken and the sour cream base with the cheese? They started putting fucking french fries in them and bacon in them and everything.
That's why I figured that going inside was always the best. Because when you're trying to order through a drive-thru out the window and somebody else sober is driving and you're either trying to feed them your order or yell it through the back window, you got to go inside so you can clearly get what you want if you're looking for something specific. I'd roll
those dice just to stay through the drive-thru, man.
That was the safest way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a solid, versatile food, and it works. Drunk, stoned, anything like that, you can do it during the day. But there always is a question when you did it drunk. The next day, did you always feel so shitty because of how much you drank or because of the massive gut bomb burrito that you put yourself in? Oh, I'm
sure it was a combination of
both. I'd always put the blame on the burrito. It would never be my drinking and my own downfall. It would always be the last burrito.
Drinking. Yes, it was my drinking. The other thing, too, is like if I was stoned, like I said, it's the difference between me eating like a fucking raccoon and me at least eating like a discernible like bear at the zoo that like is picky about his food. Like if I'm stoned, I'll sorry. If I'm stoned, I'll probably take the pizza because I know I can at least class up the pizza a little bit. I can put some peppers, some onions, some artichokes on there, maybe a little fennel, maybe, you know, just class it up. I don't care. Guess what? I'm stoned. I don't care if you're going to charge me 99 cents per topping. I'm loading this bitch up.
The higher you are, the less of a steaks move that
What's
is.
What's that? You can drizzle freaking buffalo sauce on there? Yes, please. No, thank you. I got balsamic at home. That's going on there, too. I think I had a little feta in the fridge. Just give me the base. I'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, they're both very versatile, and they're both... The variety that you get out of either one of them is pretty astounding. Just... It's something where it's a customizable item from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What is the best touch or feeling?
An itch. Just an itch. Getting an itch. Oh, one in the middle of the back, one in the arch of the foot.
Not getting an itch. You mean getting at an itch?
Like scratching
it,
an itch.
Satisfying it, the itch.
The feeling of accomplishment that you get out of it. The... instant relief when you get it, when you're really digging a nail in, like if you got one in the middle of your back that's just going nuts and you go bear style and find like the corner of a door or something like that and get it. I always remember seeing my dad do that in public, and it was the most embarrassing thing because there'd be a bunch of people around and he'd like look over at the corner of the wall and be like, oh yeah, an itch, I'm gonna get that. And then he'd go over and rub against it. It's, oh man, it's satisfying as all
do you think out. That there's a product out there that you could actually just like, imagine if like stores like that on some of their walls just had a like a rubber thing that kind of sat there, like hard rubber or plastic, and it just had like nubs on it, and it was just from like 3 feet up to like 6 feet, and they're like, what is this? They're like, well, this is actually just so people can scratch their back. Yeah. It's just textured so people can kind of go up and down and everything like that. Super easy to clean. You just spray it down and everything. People are wearing their clothes. It's just something we installed here.
Just in general,
is that public? A fucking product? If that's not a product, if someone wants to get on that, I'm trademarking this right now as of the posting of this episode.
Hearing that, I instantly think of, you remember the old monkey paws?
Mm-hmm.
Those things.
We're going to go overseas sometime and we're going to be like, what is that? And they're going to be like, that's the scratching pad. Oh. We had those over. We've had your country doesn't have these. God damn it.
We have scratching pads. So advanced. Here. We don't have toilets, so you do have to go squat over that hole whenever you want to go, but we got scratching pads.
It's more ergonomic. Why do you think the squatty potty is so good?
Yeah.
We tried to make it the simplest thing for us to use, and it's not even the most, like, useful. Do you know how good you shit when your feet are up?
I've never tried.
You've never used a squatty potty?
Uh-uh.
Dude.
I've used shorter toilets.
Okay, but like get like a, it's easy for me because I have the stool for the little guy.
Uh-huh.
So I can just put my feet up on a stool.
Dual purpose.
It's so nice.
There is something about American ingenuity that instead of squatting down in a more ergonomic way to do it,
we brought just, it up to our ass.
We met in the
We're
middle.
No longer going down. We're bringing it to our ass. Pretty soon we're just going to have to lean against something that's just going to suck the shit right out of us.
It's just going to be a vacuum that you just walk up to it, suction cup, and just go.
Okay. Best touch or feeling. Okay. You're up. It's at night. You're getting ready to go to bed. You just got done watching TV or whatever. You're stoned. You're sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
You get up those stairs or wherever you take that trek down your hall. You pull back those sheets. You slide into that bed and you got that nice fluffy comforter on top of you, those sheets, and your pillow is just that perfect amount of cool and soft. I like a kind of soft pillow, but I have to be able to compact it a little bit so I can get the shape around it. I get my arms under that, lay my head down, stretch out, and just that like 12 seconds until those sheets hit your body temperature, everything, it's just bliss.
You're chilly, oh but God. You know it's going to get warmer.
It's a complete just sexual experience without the erection. It's like a body boner, man. You just get a body erection.
Have you
trademarked that term?
Body erection.
That would be my fragrance if we come out with a cologne.
You know what the hardest part of my day is? Putting on my body
erection by Historically High. Do you think Johnny Depp would be interested in that?
Oh, faster than you could ask him. Have you gotten to the stage in life where you start to make spendier and spendier sheet purchases based on the level of comfort that you feel like you deserve in bed? Before,
spendier, spendier sheet purchases?
Yeah.
I've made a substantial investment in the mattress, and that made a huge difference. Sheet purchases, I could probably honestly do better on the sheet purchases. That I could probably, it's like we went mattress, then the comforter game. If I have to give or take, I'll take less comfortable sheets over a more comfortable, or no, I'll take the comfortable comforter over the really comfortable sheets. Are you, do you use the, what do they call it? The slip sheet? Is that the one that's supposed to, you have your one that goes over the mattress. Then some people have that useless fucking thin ass one that comes with it matches. And then the comforter.
The top sheet?
Yeah, that's useless.
Oh, no, my friend. It's the softness that you get from the base sheet, except on top of your body.
No, but I like the feeling of the comforter, and that top sheet just finds its way within the first hour of sleep to the foot of the bed and just gets kicked down there in a bundle.
I've noticed there's a lot of weird ways that people sleep. And I try not to yuck people's yum. That I truly don't understand, because a good tuck job, and we have one of the...
Why are you tucking? You're trying to restrain yourself in bed?
Because as a tall man, when I pull the sheets up, sometimes there's a chance my toesies.
Oh my God, man. I cannot have sheets tucked.
Really?
Katie will tuck the comforter at like the foot of the
You tuck the bed. Comforter?
Like just at the foot of the bed.
Why? That's the one you want to pull up because it's bigger than all the other sheets.
No, she'll tuck it like the tail end of the comforter, the bottom of it. She just tucks it down and like under the mattress so it keeps it in place. We have a little bench at the foot of the bed. Okay, anyway, I have to get in there, and the first thing I do after I get my little 12 seconds of just pure just joy is then I have to get my feet and raise them up to untuck that so I have freedom of movement, because I like to put the leg out sometimes and tuck that comforter under.
You got a Costanza of the sheets to...
Yeah. I cannot sleep with anything restricting me like that.
Really?
There is no tucking.
Yeah, I guess it's just different strokes for different folks, because there's people...
Do you like to be, like, choked and stuff?
Well, yeah, that's separate, though.
That kind of sounds like the same thing. Like, you like to be, like, restrained in the sheets and everything. So, like, choking seems like it's not that far of a jump.
I just like to be cocooned.
Okay.
You get that feeling, and that's what's nice about the...
Like, swaddled?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Like, weighted comforter? We have one of those? Fucking incredible, man.
Okay, there's a difference between a weighted comforter that lays over you and a blanket tucked in to keep, like, you tucked down. Because the comforter offers you freedom of movement even off the confines of the bed. That sheet is just holding you in there.
I just...
Different strokes for different folks. As a taller gentleman, though, this surprises me, because I would think you would like freedom to be swinging those appendages all over. Maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe you can't have that happening. Like when Bruce Banner freaks out as the Hulk.
It's just a safety issue.
He's likely to just cause destruction. He can't even help it. With you in your sleep, maybe you just need to feel a little bit reined in, or else Adam Smash.
My biggest problem is, though, is my, regardless of having a California anything, a longer bed, my feet still hang off the bottom, because obviously you don't sleep with your head right up against the headboard. And if it's open down there...
Which is strange, because that, like, I always sleep with my head up near the headboard.
And not where you can, like, bump into it, though, right?
I mean, I could probably fit, like, if I put my fist on the top of my head, I could probably almost touch the headboard. Maybe a little bit more.
Still 4 inches.
Yeah. Who sleeps that close to their fucking... Do people sleep that close to their
head? I don't know. But the way that my feet hang off on the bottom, if it's not tucked in, I start to get the cold air and the breeze from underneath with everything else untucked at the bottom. So if you tuck it in, it creates that nice little heat barrier. Okay. Down there.
No, I can understand that, because I do that, but I have to have it up because I want it under my foot. I don't need it under the mattress or anything. I got to have that tuck. I want that tuck up close to me.
You can pin it yourself instead of
being the whole, all the way under the mattress. That whole blanket touching my foot.
Yeah. I get that.
Oh, we really got to know something about each other there, didn't we?
Yeah. That's, like I was saying, the way that people set up beds and sheets is all different.
This is good, though, because, like, if we, you know, travel for episodes, I can call ahead and be like, listen, One bed, please leave everything one nice tux. And loose. One, I want that thing to be like a fucking hospital patient's fucking bed. I want that thing strapped down tight.
Can I get the mental patient turned down service on one bed?
All right, man. You got anything else?
No, I think that was a good best to start.
All right, man. Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for another episode. If you like what you heard, hit that subscribe and like button. Follow us. If you didn't like what you heard, still hit that anyway, because we'll probably cover something in the future that you do like. Please follow us on our social media. Adam, hit him with it.
Our Instagram is historically high pod, historically high POD, and we are on Twitter at historically high, that's historically HI.
All right. And if you guys want to send in any feedback, suggestions, hit us up on those two, or you can even do it on Gmail. It's historicallyhighpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again.
Peace.